Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Anne Graham, Graham Lutz talks about pockets of revival. She said we might not see that, but we may see pockets of revival, talking about this huge revival. And that lines up with so many words. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of Perry Stone and the prophetic word God gave him about the very specific thing. He kind of referred to it as the rural revival, but it's like pockets of revival. Let's watch Perry Stone confirm a prophetic word that God gave him, specifically what Anne Graham Lutz just shared with us. Take a look.
When I was a young minister many years ago, starting out in ministry, I was called to preach at age 16 and began to preach at age 18 and began to see revivals go 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 11 weeks, 7.5 weeks, etc. When during my earlier ministry, a man named Rufus Dunford prayed for me, and Rufus Dunford could speak at least, my daddy said, 7 to 8 languages in tongues, in the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, yet he had a third grade education. In the early days of my ministry, for about 3 solid years, the Spirit of God would come on me, and I would have a manifestation come on my physical body where I would feel my hands almost become numb, my face become numb, but it wasn't uncomfortable, it didn't hurt. But when it happened, it was a sign from God that I was to prophesy. A prophecy is to speak an utterance under the inspiration of God without a message in tongues, which followed by an interpretation. Recently, on Sunday night, on 9/13/2015 in Huntington, West Virginia, I stood to the pulpit to preach. And I can't explain it, but I felt that anointing come on me, Mark. So heavy that I didn't think I would be able to stand behind the pulpit. In fact, Robbie and them got concerned that I was going to literally pass out. And it wasn't a physical thing. It was a spiritual thing. And I'm going to read to you this prophecy, and then I'm going to preach on what the Lord is showing me about this prophetic season. Now, your CD is going to say the rise of seven ancient spirits. If you are in the conference, it'll say that. That is not a misprint. That's just that God changed the title and the message. So please understand that if you're listening to this. This was a prophecy. But the Lord said, there's coming a sign in this country. There's coming a sign. It's in the very near future. The righteous will discern and the unrighteous will not. You'll know it when you see it because it will be something that will be so significant it'll grip your attention. Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. One more time. He does this because he loves this country. Then I stopped there and I said, now listen to me. I'm hearing something. That was me saying that. Then I went back in the spirit. America is a giving country. If you don't believe that, let disaster happen anywhere in the world. Who shows up first? It doesn't matter what country. If it's a Muslim country, it doesn't matter. Indonesia doesn't matter. Taiwan doesn't matter. Japan, it doesn't matter. Who shows up? I hear the Spirit of God say this, and I remember the anointing was so heavy when this came forth. I remember the good, but my people don't. But and I will give you an inheritance. I will give you another chance because of what you planted in the past, what those before you have planted in the past. It will come up before God one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. Areas where people will pray and pray and worship until the glory is seen. That just happened. It will not be the type of meeting that will make attention from coast to coast. But in that region and with those people, the town will know there's a visitation from heaven going on. Listen, Mark, listen to this. And it will be known as the rural revival because people will begin to leave large cities, says the Spirit of God, not in droves or in masses, but they're going to begin to pull away and not know why, but go into mountain areas, into smaller cities because of the danger. Now, this may be a revelation of what's coming because of the dangers and the fear and the mobs and the robbing and looting and stealing, and God's talking about in major cities, the people will be drawn to where the good people are, where they hear that people love each other and they care about one another. Some will come, and they'll have no background in the Word. They'll have no background in the things of the Spirit, but they'll be drawn here because of the mercy of God and drawn to places because of the mercy of the Lord for people. And the good people who know the Lord and know their God shall teach them the things of the Lord. One more time, listen to this, because the Lord says he still cares because he said there is still more than a remnant. Hallelujah.
This is just so confirming because she's talking about we won't see the full revival. We'll see pockets of revival. This is exactly what the Lord's telling Perry Stone. Mm-hmm. He's just on Sid Roth talking about it just recently, right? But, you know, think about this, that what you want to do is you want to be in the pocket. You want to be in the pocket. You want to be what God, because God's always moving, but if he's moving in a certain place or area, you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And what it looks like to me, the cities, based on some of the prophetic words given by many, but also seen by us and seen by Streams Ministry, John Paul Jackson, that it's just if you don't live in a city, it's kind of difficult to understand, but basically, if there was no buildings, people would be standing on top of each other 100 people high.
Right.
Because it's not like wide. They're just like apartments and buildings, and they're stacked all up, and they all live within a block area. But when there's no air conditioning, no electricity, no water, that place becomes a cave. It doesn't make sense anymore. And so people start trying to get out of the city, and there's not a lot of ground to grow things in. And so a lot of difficult things, some of the things that Marjane Hamilton saw, you know, that's one of our producer's editor's wife. God showed her a dream very specifically of New York City and the buildings being burned down and torn down. And it's just over and over again, John Paul Jackson saw roads being ripped up and them trying to plant gardens. But if just prepare, you know, it's time for prudent preparation.
We'll be right back.
We had a chance to be in Alabama at Church of His Presence with Pastor John Kilpatrick recently, and Rose came up, and shout out to Rose in Alabama, and she was talking about how she's already began to abide with the Lord. We have a short period of time. If you don't know his voice right now, you need to learn his voice, because there's so many people going to jump up now. They're going to jump up and say they heard from God. And this is some of the words you're going to hear. You're going to hear the whole prophetic word coming on BFN TV soon that was given by John Kilpatrick. John Kilpatrick, just recently, I mean, God spoke to him specifically in his dream. And we have 4 months, and then we're going to harvest whatever we choose to do. And it's not going to be good if we don't repent. But if we repent, which means abide with the Lord, begin to live a life, a righteous life, righteous in Christ through his mercy and grace. But hey, if we never pick the Bible up at all, how if the Bible is full of truth, I mean, think about this. If the Bible is full of truth, and the enemy is a liar and the father of lies, how are we going to identify that he's lying to us if we don't know the truth?
Right. Gotta know which is which.
It's like Josiah. He didn't know what a lie was until he found the word of God hidden in the temple. He said, go clean that church building out.
Right. Look what we found.
Like. Yeah. And all of a sudden the priest runs out and goes, hey, I just happened to find the scriptures here. Right. And when he read them, you know what he found out? I know we gotta go to break, but listen, you know what he found out?
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Is it good? God is mad at us.
God's angry with us.
Yeah.
He said, God's angry with us. And it wasn't God got angry because he read the word. He just found out God's emotions that were already going along. He was angry. He was about to destroy a nation. But he stopped it because he understood and got in the word. You've got to go to iabide.org today. Get your abiding plan. Get on Emmaus Road and become a disciple. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Look at the menu for Hello Church. It drops down. You have Emmaus Road. You choose your path.
Two armies faced off on a piece of farmland that's come to be known simply as Gettysburg.
The Battle of Gettysburg, fought in a war that began on April 12, 1861, ending in the spring of 1865, after Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox.
But did you know, in 1862, the Confederate Bible Society in Augusta, Georgia, printed the first edition of a small Bible to fit into a soldier's pocket, taking the Bible with him into battle.
The demand becoming so great, the Confederate Bible Society attempted to import Bibles from Great Britain, with blockade runners challenging the Union soldiers attempting to prevent the smuggling of Bibles to the South.
And did you know, Museum of the Bible collections hold a first edition copy of the Soldier's Bible, a significant artifact in the history and impact of the Bible in America.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
That so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But this kind of sets us up for talking about living in the grace of God. You know, Brian Johnson, worship leader there at Bethel, Bill Johnson's son, sharing briefly with some folks about living in God's grace. And I think that's so important because a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can lean in our own understanding, we can lean in our own strength and determination, and that only works just for a little bit, you know?
Got to remind you.
Yeah, because you just can't do it. You know, you just can't do it. God has given us grace. In fact, watch this.
Time with him should be treated like if we were alone on a deserted island. No motive other than friendship. In the secret place, everything starts to make sense. Philippians 4, 12 through 13 says this, "For I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty." The strength here is not in personal willpower. It's 100% in him. You guys remember the story of Peter when Jesus went to Peter and said, "You're going to deny him." And he's like, "I am not going to deny you. I'd never deny you. I'm going to be with you till the end." And he puffed out his chest, kind of like a rooster walks around. How many of you have chickens? We have chickens. And we had roosters. And I bought 14 roosters from Tractor's, 14 chicks from Tractor Supply Store, and ended up with 12 roosters 9 months later. And what a rooster will do is a rooster will walk around, and it's so funny, even when they're this big, we have these cats, you know, and they're the dumbest things because they'll walk around like, you know, I'm awesome. But even to a cat that could eat it, there's this sense of they're so confident in who they are. Peter was confident in his ability, like a rooster, instead of acknowledging, and it's ironic that a rooster crowed, that it was a rooster. Lord, the Bible's full of stuff like that. Confident in his ability, instead of acknowledging his weakness, he chose to cling to the illusion of strength, and then a day later denied Jesus. Now, how in the world does that happen? He was the dude on the front row screaming the loudest during the high point of the worship set. He was on the front row. He was out evangelizing and prophesying over everyone more than any of us. How in the world did he deny Jesus a day later? That is how he denied Jesus a day later. There's an illusion that we can have sometimes that we are passionate for God, but the reality is we're maybe a little more confident in our passionate personality, and we're clinging to an illusion instead of actually being to the point where we're so broken that we know 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 that it's only by grace that we can even lift our voice. Consider it a gift. When God is your only option. See, men impress other men with our gifts and our successes and our great exploits. Right? I got these songs and I've got the label and then all of a sudden, my balloon has popped and I can't even carry on a conversation, or I can't look at my lawn that's got something wrong with it without having a panic attack. The way to impress God is we must step into the realm of limitless faith in God alone. Because he's not impressed with our gifts, our success, our great exploits, because he already knows. He gave them to us. It's all by grace. He's impressed when we completely rely on him and have limitless faith in God. My dad is incredible with me with his sickness that he's been going through. It's amazing to watch him in this season, and praise God for, you know, he's getting surgery and everything, which Chris talked about today. But it's amazing to watch a man who's actually living out right now what he's been preaching for his whole life. Living out what it looks like to have faith, to have limitless faith in God, unhindered by circumstance. That's where the rubber meets the road. We can do this all day, and we can say, man, I trust in God, and all this. But when the crap hits the fan, do you still trust in God? Do you know what I mean? And I just love watching him in this season. It's really powerful, and I feel like after this season, there's going to be another level really for him, because there's always another level when you go through stuff, always. Embracing the pain, getting past it.
Wow. Zechariah 4:6, right? Not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, right? Listen, you only can go so far in your own strength.
Yeah.
Why even attempt? It's so much better to say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your supernatural empowerment to do what I cannot even do on my own. I'm not even going to attempt it. I reach out for grace.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
The key to a healthy marriage is to keep your eyes wide open before you wed and half closed thereafter.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Last year, there were close to 2.5 million divorces in the United States. And part of the problem is the tendency for young men and women to marry virtual strangers. Oh, I know a typical couple talks for countless hours before the courtship period, and they believe they know each other. But a dating relationship is designed to conceal information, not reveal it. Consequently, the bride and groom often enter into marriage with an array of private opinions about how life will be lived after the wedding, and the stage is set for major problems. For this reason, I strongly believe that each engaged couple should participate in at least 6 to 10 sessions with a competent marriage counselor in order to identify the assumptions that each partner holds and to work through areas of potential conflict. Some couples discover through this process that they have major problems that hadn't surfaced until then, and they agree to either postpone or call off the wedding. Others work through their conflicts and proceed toward marriage with increased confidence. Premarital counseling is the key. If the tragedy of divorce could be reduced by even 5%, it would certainly be worth the effort.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to go right to Pastor John Kilpatrick. He's the pastor of Church of His Presence, and what he's saying about a prophetic word and how it uplifts us. When you hear a word from God spoken over you, it can change your destiny. Let's go there now. Think about it. A prophetic word that when God speaks prophetically to this leader, you know, Jehoshaphat, he has to have faith in that word. He has to repeat that word publicly, and people have to line up with that word publicly. But if we'll do all those things, if we'll do all those things, guess what? Then God's going to do what he said he's going to do. But the word has to be spoken first. Imagine how much courage it took for Jehoshaphat to go, they just told me that this bigger than us army is coming against us and is going to destroy us. And now I have to go out and counteract that by saying, you're going to deliver us. I want you to listen to Brother Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence Ministry, speaking about the importance. Prophetic words mean nothing, really, if you don't speak them out. And if you don't believe what you speak out, they mean nothing. It's all about trusting God.
Whenever God gives a prophetic person a word, you know, it's like I've often said, you can have something in your head, you can think about it for 25 years, and nothing will happen.
Right.
You got to get it out of your mouth. You know, even you in the audience and those of you watching the television, mm-hmm. when God gives you a word, you can mull over that word, you can think about it mentally for 25, 30 years, and that's nothing true. Will happen.
True.
But when you get it out of your mouth, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with.
Yeah.
And so that morning, whenever I woke up, if I hadn't called you, you may have continued to suffer. Mm. I'm not saying you didn't suffer because of me, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying that whenever you get something out of your mouth, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with, and you also put wind under that man's wings.
Right.
A prophetic word, and one of the reasons why the devil fights prophecy so bad in this hour is because when a person gives a prophetic word, it puts lift under their wings.
Mm.
And, you know, all of a sudden now you're stretching your wings and you're gliding.
Yeah.
You're not struggling anymore. You're gliding on
power
a prophetic.
Power of two.
Yeah. On a prophetic
you
word.
You stood with, you know, two agree is touching anything. The Bible says God said, I'll do it. And you gave power to me, and I started to soar again.
Sure.
And I would have been defeated. I was defeated. And now we're seeing miracles. Even when the pump ran dry at the first day of this conference, the water was gone. No toilets to flush. No water there. And it was like, oh, Jim, everybody's going to be mad. You know what? They thought it was an illustrated sermon. They thought, right? And when I first said it, they said, well, oh, this is a test for the Survival Expo, you know.
And
boy, it was a
test.
We had to figure out how to get 1,000 people to flush their toilets without water.
And they're here and live.
And we survive.
We survive.
And we're putting backup on backup on backup. And God meant it for good.
Sure, he did.
Yes, he did.
But you know, a lot of times God's given me a ministry with ministers, and I love ministers. Mm.
Yes.
And sometimes he'll just, you know, a person will come before my face, mm-hmm. and I'll just see their face come before my face.
Yeah.
And I'll know that I need to call them. Well, a lot of times I'll just call them, check on them, but when I'm talking to them, the Lord will give me like a prophetic word for them, a word of encouragement or whatever.
Hmm.
And so as I give that to them, it's tragic for God to give you something for somebody and you sit on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just sit on it.
Yeah.
You've got to get it out of your mouth.
Right.
Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say, think about the mountain.
Right.
He said, speak to the mountain.
That's what he said.
And you've got to speak to people. And the other thing is, the reason why the devil fights the prophetic so much in these last days is because people are going through hell.
Yes.
People are battling on their jobs. They're battling in the world. They're battling in their families. They're battling, you know, temptations and oppression and depression and all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
And sometimes just a sentence. Right. Or just a phrase can put lift back up under them.
Yes.
And they just glide.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I think many people languish in our churches today is because we've muffled and got lockjaw and will not speak prophetic words to people. And I don't understand that to save my life. I don't know. I was raised in a church in the Assemblies of God, but my pastor was prophetic. He was also loved Bible prophecy. He engendered that in me. So I grew up thinking that the prophetic was normal. And boy, did I get a surprise.
Yeah.
When I got up and I got out and I began to realize that many people don't care for Bible prophecy and they don't really care for the prophetic.
Right.
But I survive off of that. God helps me with that. And just as you sow that in other people's lives, God will give you a word when you need a word.
That's right.
But we need to, the Bible says as you see the day approaching, encourage one another.
Yes.
You know, as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But the Bible says comfort one another.
Yes.
It says comfort one another. The reason why so many people's depressed today is because they see these signs happening, but the preachers are not comforting their congregations.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not comforting each other talking about this. When we start talking about stock market falling and all that, it sounds negative as all get out to some people.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about earthquakes and things like that, it sounds negative and it sounds, you know, depressing. But to me, it encourages me because the Lord said, when you see these things, lift up your head because your redemption draws nigh.
Yeah.
That's so important. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick's a spiritual father to me. When we were transitioning from our previous studios to our present studios, it was a major shift we had to make rapidly.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me a word, and I'm on that word every second, every else in the word, because I just lived in this prophetic word that was given to me. about being able to do it. You know, God gave me a dream. He spoke to me very specifically, but he gave me a prophetic word that kind of carried us to this particular. It was a rapid grace movement. And the thing about it is we moved in it. We moved in what God said. We moved in the prophetic word. We spoke against all odds. We looked at people and said it can't be done. And here we are. And it just happens. And it's so exciting. It's exhilarating. But the truth is, it's like Jehoshaphat, the enemy is coming. There, he is bigger than your natural sense, but he's not bigger than God.
Absolutely.
So you have to be able to trust the word of God over you. And if you're somewhere where there is lockjaw, you're going to have to find the fresh, prophetic, living, active word of God, right?
Jesus said that we're not going to be able to survive on bread alone, but we're going to live by the proceeding word.
Proceeding word.
Out of God, you know? That's where we live. We're called to be a prophetic people that hears the voice of God, speaks the word of God, and obeys the word of God. This is what we're called to do. It's our destiny.
That's why we always talk about abiding. When you abide with the Lord, you can do nothing outside of an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. It's John chapter 15. We have a simple, and most people want to abide with God. They don't really have the concept down. We have that concept down for you in a simple way for you to be able to begin to abide. Is spending time with God, hiding his word in your heart, talking to God, listening to God, and doing what he tells you or impresses on you to do. We have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. And what happens when you abide with the Lord, he's going to begin to speak to you. So when you do get a prophetic word, maybe through VFN TV, you know, maybe from a Pastor John Kilpatrick, or your pastor, it's going to bear witness of what you already heard in your time with
That's
God.
Right.
You got to begin to abide with him. And if you're hanging out with Jesus, he's hanging out with you, and nothing's impossible. Even if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Mr. Abednego, and the fire is hot, the government's against you, God can even be with you in the fire. What a program this has been, going back and looking at the specific things that God has been telling us. We've been doing that for quite some time. If you missed our earlier programs, you need to go catch them all. And you can at VFNTV.com. But I want to encourage you to set your DVRs to record this program every single day. So you get whatever available time you have, you can go back and watch it, because these are timely words for this season and we need to be able to prepare. I want to be able to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Don't forget, we're here for you. You can contact us by going to VFNTV.com, or you can call us at 844-40-VFNTV. We are here and we're walking this out together. Father God, we just love you. We thank you for these men of God who just shared their hearts and listened to what you said, God, and you prepared us. We pray for this marshal, God, if that does happen, God, that you would put somebody who has your heart at the leadership to be able to get this nation to the place that you want it to be in your will, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, that you would truly end abortion, send revival to the church, and send a third great awakening to America, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.